back to Hosea, the book of Hosea tonight. I attended this afternoon to preach on the priesthood of our lovely Savior, dear Savior Jesus Christ, but I began to think all afternoon about God's grace and how He's bestowed that grace to us time and time again, as we've seen as the picture of Hosea and how He loved Gomer so dearly. And I don't have a song on my heart tonight, but I'd rather allow or rather hear you sing tonight. So if you would, let's sing Amazing Grace. And I'll start out if you'll sing from your hearts. And just think about God's grace, how He saved you, how He searched for you, how He called you, all the many blessings He's done for you. God's amazing grace. Amazing grace. Hey. Praise God. His holy name. Amen. Yes, He has, Brother Gary. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. 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 sound of grace is so amazing. When God speaks to us for salvation, when He speaks to us to comfort us, when He speaks to us to tell us that He loves us, when He speaks to us to give us direction and the path that we need to take, that grace, that sound of grace is amazing. I began to think about that searching grace. When God searched us out for the first time, told us that we were lost. Where were you at when God searched for you? John Newton, he was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean on a ship. Apostle Paul was on the road to Damascus. I was in the old sanctuary on a cold February night. Matthew, he was sitting at the receipt of customs, collecting taxes. James and John was down by the seashore, mending nets. Where were you when God began to search you and speak sweet grace to your soul? Begin to think about God's grace is sufficient. Whatever our need is tonight, whatever problem we're facing, whatever need we have, whatever your situation is tonight, God's grace is sufficient. Begin to think about Hosea again this afternoon and how Hosea loved Gomer and how God loved Israel and Judah and how they left searching after God, searching after other lovers, searching after other ones to give their affection to time and time again. Yet God was so gracious in searching for them and speaking to them and calling for them. We seen this morning how He was gracious to us in giving us the cross, the vineyards that Hosea wanted to give Gomer. He wanted to rescue Gomer and deliver Gomer from her life of sin, her life of iniquity, her life and all of her transgressions. Hosea wanted to deliver Gomer. We begin to think about and see this morning how God shows us He cares, that caring grace. Hosea went and searched for, and Hosea went and looked for Gomer, and Hosea walked the streets of Israel searching for Gomer, and he said, "I will allure her." He didn't go to beat her up. He didn't go to run her in the ground or to put her away or to stone her. He went to tell her that he loved her. He went to flirt with her, as we looked as the word, to persuade her to lure back to himself. That's that caring grace. We saw this morning about the communion grace, how He wants to take you and I to the wilderness, where we can get alone with Him and there's time spent with Him in intimate relationship. It's the word wilderness, or the speak comfortably. It has that idea of intimate communication, where God wants to speak to us and commune with us. We looked and see how God was so gracious. I began to think this afternoon and about verse number 8. The Bible says in verse 8 of chapter number 2, "For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold which they prepared for Baal." Hosea is telling us in verse number 8 that Gomer, while she's out giving her affection, her love to others, that she didn't know that it was Hosea that prepared, and it was Hosea that gave, and it was Hosea that provided all that she needed. You see, it says that they prepared for Baal. They were working so hard. They were working so intently. They put forth so much effort to please this false god Baal, to try to please this dead god Baal. And Hosea is telling us that Gomer did not know that it was me that I was providing for you. And I believe it's important that we use what God has given us to glorify His name. Gomer, she was doing all that she could do to please her lovers. She was doing all she do to satisfy others, and she thought that all of her blessings, she thought all the good things of life was coming from them, but they were coming from Hosea. We notice here, as Hosea began to walk the streets. I started to think this afternoon as he began to walk the streets of Israel, and he would go and he would knock on the door of that scoundrel of a man, and he would open the door knowing his wife was inside. He would tell him, he's saying, I want you to know I'm the husband of Gomer, and I'm here to give you groceries. I'm here to give you corn. I'm here to give you oil. I'm here to give you wine and flax and wool so you can provide for her, so you can care for her, so she won't go hungry, so she won't be in need. And as Hosea turns around to walk back home with tears streaming down his face, and they shut the door, and they would enjoy the blessings. They would enjoy the groceries and the goods that Hosea gave them. And Gomer was thinking that it come from others. That it come from the one that she was with. That it come from those that she was trying to please so much. God's been gracious to us. We see here in chapters 1 through 3, it's about Hosea's life, his personal life, how he loved Gomer and how his children, and it was his marriage, and it was about him and Gomer. But we find in chapters 4 through 14, it's God's message to Israel. What was God's message to Israel? What was he wanting to tell Israel? Verse number 8. It said, for she did not know that I gave her corn. I just want to say, I'm glad for the grace of God. You know, my parents, they've been more than good to me. My wife blesses me every day. My children bring happiness and joy in my life. I woke up this morning with health, and I woke up this morning feeling well, and my job signs my paycheck. But I just want to say tonight, it's all because of Jesus Christ. Every blessing, every good and perfect gift, James 1:17 says, comes from the Father above. We're here tonight, not on our own account, because of what he's done for us. He gave her corn. He gave her wine. He gave her oil, wool and flax and clothing. It was God that was providing. That's grace. It's God's grace. I was thinking, we have a problem though. He was so good to Gomer. Hosea loved Gomer so much and so intently, but there was a problem. God loved Israel. God was providing for Judah and Israel, protecting, providing, blessing, going before them, fighting their battles. Yet there was a problem. We looked at the caring grace. We've seen the communion grace, the cross that's grace. But what's the problem? What's the problem that God has with Israel? See, we still serve a just God this morning. He's still righteous. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. He's a God of blessings. He's a God of mercy, of long-suffering. But that's not his essence. His essence tonight is he's holy. He's just. He's righteous. And even though he's blessing and he's giving and he's long-suffering, he's merciful and he helps us time and time again, God has a quarrel. He has a controversy. He has a strife. He has a dispute with Israel. Look at chapter 4. As we come to chapter 4, Hosea's personal life begins to fade away. There's not much mentioned more about his personal life with Gomer and his children and his relationship with his wife. In chapter 4, God begins to deliver his message to the nation of Israel. And he has a controversy. Look at verse number 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. You say, what's chapter 4 about? Chapter 4, it's about the ignorance of God. Chapter 4 is about their idolatry. concerning God. Chapter 4 is about the putting others and other things, other blessings, putting the blessings that God gave them before God Himself. Chapter 4 is about immorality. Chapter 4 is about the Lord being upset. He said, I have a controversy. He said, I'm having a quarrel or a dispute or a accusation against you. His own people displeased Him. There's discord now between His children and God. There's discord between Gomer and Hosea. And He said, I have this controversy. Hosea's stepping out. He's proclaiming to the nation of Israel how God truly feels. There's a problem. There's discord. There's a dispute. There's strife between God and His children. I believe God sees their life. He sees the sin that's in their life. I'm not trying to be personal tonight. I'm not trying to get in your pew, but I wonder, is there a controversy? Is there a quarrel or a dispute that the God of all heaven has with you tonight? The Holy Ghost has pinpointed that sin. The Holy Ghost has spoke to your heart and said, it's wrong, that we need to get it under the blood, that we need to get it out of our life. And He's saying, I have a controversy against my children. He has a quarrel, dispute. What's the problem? What's the controversy God has with His children? In verse 14, He said, because there is no truth. There's no truth in the land of Israel. His own children, the ones He saved, the ones He's brought out of bondage of Egypt, the one He's went before and behind and beside and fought battles, time and time again, He said, there is no truth. This word truth, it has a funny meaning. It means to be firm. It means to be faithful. It means to be reliable. I wonder tonight how worthy or how reliable, how steadfast, how firm are you and I in the faith. It seems like Israel no longer feared God. It's no longer they had the desire to serve God and to follow God and to sacrifice to God. You see, God's blessings, God's grace began to be a hindrance to them serving God. He blessed them time and time again. He's blessed them beyond measure. Hosea had blessed and showed Gomer grace time and time again. And yet they got to the point where they did not fear the Lord God Himself. Psalms 11:10. Tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is that fear tonight? Why is there no truth in the land? He said the beginning of fear, that's the reverence of God. That's the respect of God. That's the being in awe of God. I wonder, do we reverence the God of all heaven? The sweet one that saved our precious soul. Do we reverence and awe and worship and reverence and respect Jesus Christ the Lord like He wants us to tonight? I feel that God, since He's been so good to Israel, since He's blessed them and He's been gracious to them time and time again, she begins to think that God will not bring judgment, that God will keep His hand of blessing and keep His hand of grace, and God will keep helping time and time again. Just because God does not bring judgment, just because He's long-suffering and judgment is slow, you can rest assured the wheels of judgment is turning. There'll be a time that God does roll up His sleeve and He does send judgment and He does pour out His wrath. I just want to say tonight, I want a reverence, I want a fear, I want a respect, I want honor, I want to praise, I want to give the one that's worthy of everything, every part of my being, the praise and honor and the glory that He deserves. He ought to be respected tonight, reverenced tonight, worshiped tonight, just because of His name. His name's reverence. His name's worthy. His name's lofty. His name is above all names. I bless His name this morning. We ought to worship Him because of His nature. I said earlier, He's holy. He's pure. He's undefiled. He's separate from sinners. He's made higher than the heavens. He's God. We ought to reverence Him tonight. But the question is God pleased with us? Does He have a controversy as Gomer or Hosea had with Gomer? Does He have a quarrel against you tonight? He says in verse 14, I have controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. See, God's children was without excuse. They had no excuse not to know God's ways, not to follow God, how to sacrifice, when to sacrifice. You see, God had given them the book of Leviticus. Told them how to live, how to walk, told them how to sacrifice, told them how to take care of the poor and the needy. It told them how to go and to do. Yet it said there was no knowledge of God in the land. Why was there no knowledge? Why did they depart from truth? Why was there no mercy? We see they departed from it. And I began to think this afternoon, Joshua 1:8 tells us that this book, the book of the law, the book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth. But when they shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. You know, if we're going to be successful tonight, if we're going to have favor with God, if we're going to have a fellowship with God, and we're going to be right in God's eyes, we're going to have to reverence Him, respect Him, fear Him, look to Him, praise Him, but we're going to have a knowledge through the Word of God. There was no knowledge in the land, no knowledge of God, no truth in the land, no mercy. We see that today in our land that we live in. No truth, no knowledge. And because of that, there's no boundaries. There's no right. There's no wrong. There's no answer to one. There's living as you please. Look at verse number 2. It says, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing, committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. It seems as if Israel, once they had left God's law, once they had left truth, once they had left mercy, once they had left looking to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, there began to be swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery and breaking out, and blood toucheth blood. That blood touches blood. That's rivalry against family members. That's the lying and the stealing. God told them in Leviticus what to do, how to live, when to worship, but yet they departed from it. But notice in verse 3, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. You know, when God begins to sin judgment, when He begins to show His wrath and His anger upon a land that's forgotten Him, upon His children that's turned His back upon Him, upon those that He's saved and He's rescued, and they go searching for other gods, it says there'll be languish, there'll be sorrow in the land, there'll be trouble in the land. You know, because of America has turned her back upon God, even though there's a remnant of blood-bought, born again, saved children of God here tonight, you and I may have to face that as well. It says the beasts of the field will face it. The fowls of the air, the fishes of the sea, they'll all partake from the wrath of God because the nation has turned her back upon Jesus Christ. But I wonder tonight, does He have a quarrel against you and I? Against His children? Do we reverence Him like we should? Do we read the Word of God like we should? Do we respect Him like we should? When we come to the house of God, are we worshiping like we should? He says that I have a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Does Jesus Christ, the righteous, does he have a controversy with you tonight? Chapter 6, verse 1. This is the message to Israel. This is the main theme of the entire book of Hosea. This is as Hosea stepped out into the streets of Israel. This was his message to the children of God. Verse 1. Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. You know, God's been gracious to us. I think there's no one here tonight that cannot stand up and say that God has been better to me than I deserve. But I wonder tonight, does he have that controversy against you? What is it in your life that he's unpleased with, that he's overlooked, and he's letting you slide by time and time again? It seems like he's blessing you. It seems like he's been good to you. There will come a time, there will come a day, that he'll say that I have a controversy against thee. You know, that word controversy, it has a meaning of taking someone to court. Has a picture of putting someone on trial. I want to say tonight, when I stand before my righteous judge, when I stand before Jesus Christ, the one that saved me, the one that died for me, the one that shed his blood for my sins, I want to be found innocent. I want to be found pure. I want to be found clean by the blood of the Lamb. I believe the Lord will have a stop there tonight. Does God have a controversy with you tonight? Let's stand. Misty, if you'll come to the piano and sing or play whatever the Lord's placed on your heart. I believe the Lord will have a stop there tonight. God's been gracious to us. God's helped us time and time again. God's bestowed his grace to us. But I wonder tonight, is there a controversy? Is there a dispute? Is there a quarrel? Is there strife between you and the God of heaven? Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I pray that you would take these few words and help your children. Father, I pray that you would speak to those in the congregation and those that are watching us by the way of internet. Father, that you would pinpoint that sin, that failure, that iniquity in their life, Father, that you have a controversy against. Father, you've given us this opportunity. It's by your grace that you've given us one more opportunity to confess our faults, to call upon the name of Jesus Christ, to look to you in everything we do. Lord, I thank you for the book of Hosea. I thank you for the grace and that it shows. I thank you, Lord, for the grace that you've given me tonight. But Lord, I pray that you'd search my heart. If there's anything in me that's wicked, if there's anything there, Father, that you're not pleased with, I pray that you would speak to my heart. We love you tonight, Father. Help us. Speak to us. We'll thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This altar's open tonight. Whatever needs you have, maybe the Lord...